All right. Yes, so we were talking about New Year's resolutions and new beginnings. And, oops, it's all right. Yeah, New Year's resolutions and new beginnings. And we want to have a meaningful and a fulfilling 2024, right? We want to have a great 2024. Everyone starts the year with this expectation and with this sense of being positive about it, and they want to see how the year unfolds. And we want to always make every year count, right? Amen? Yes? We want to make every year count, and we want to make it count, not only for ourselves, but importantly, we want to make the year count in the sight of God as well. We want Him to be able to look at us, even as we go through the year, and He says, good, well done. Amen? Do we want that? That's important, right, at the end of the day. So even as I was reflecting about what are we going to be sharing about for this year itself, this was the theme that came, that God put into my heart, making the year count. And to make the year count, there are certain things that we need to do. One of it is to stay on course. So before we go on further, shall we give this time to the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to us, yeah? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this time, Lord, even that we can come before You. Lord, we thank You that You have brought us through safely through the whole of 2023, and You have brought us and ushered us into a brand new year, 2024. Lord, with new chance, new beginnings, Lord, with another chance that You have given us indeed. And we want to make this year count for You. So, Lord, we pray that even as we sit, oh Lord, at Your feet right now, Lord, may You turn our hearts and turn our minds to You, oh Father, to Your Spirit, and help us to hear Your voice, to hear Your word, oh Lord, even for us individually, personally. And, Lord, we pray that You will speak to us this day by Your Spirit. Lord, we give You full honor and glory in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome You here. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. So, if we want to starting the year is one thing. Going through the year and ending the year well is what we want. If we want to end the year well, then apart from starting it right, we need to make sure that we also stay on course throughout the year. And we do what truly matters to God. Matters to God, not just to ourselves, but what really counts in the sight of God. Now, I have an illustration here, and I want you to just imagine this with me, all right? Imagine that I'm competing in a 400-meter race at the Olympics. I know it's a bit difficult for you to imagine that with this shape and size, but that's why I say use your imagination, okay? Imagine that I'm competing in this 400-meter race. Okay, and I'm at the starting block, just ready and all poised, ready to spring forth. And at the bang of the starting gun, at the sound of the pistol, I leap off. And I shoot off the starting block and I ran with all of my might. And I push ahead of the people behind me, actually. And when I look back, and I could see that they are actually literally meters behind me and I'm just running. And they were all eating my dust, so to speak. And I was running, and I'm running, you know, in the race. And as I was running, I looked up, and I saw the huge mega screen on the stadium. And on that mega screen, the national TV was doing a coverage of the race. And because I was the lead man, I'm running, the cameraman actually zoomed in on me. And I saw myself, you know, on the big screen as I was running. And as I was looking at myself running, I realized that my hair was a little bit out of place. So I was running, I slowed down, and I just... And then I continued running. And as I was running, I realized that, hey, you know what? The cameraman doesn't seem to be doing me justice in the way I look, you know? And so I decided to turn to my better side. And I started to run like this, so that, you know, this side here, the left side, looks a little bit better. And I just run, and I just look at the big screen, and I'm running. And as I was doing that, all those guys who were behind me, they caught up. And then they overtook me. And then they beat me to the finish line. Well, you see, in my mind, I knew that I wanted to cross the finish line. In my mind, I wanted to be the first one to cross the finish line. And I trained so hard and I prepared so hard to cross that finish line first. But somehow along the way, as I was running, I got distracted. And I saw myself. I could have won the race. That trophy could have been mine. But well. And so with that illustration, that is why when we start the new year, and when we run the race of time in 2024, or even for the matter, the race of our lives, the journey of our lives, it is important that we need to keep ourselves from being distracted. But we need to stay on course by constantly reminding ourselves of two things. One, what truly matters to God at the end of the day? And two, how then should we be living every year and every moment that God gives us? So on these two questions, it is good for us to learn from the wisdom and experience of those who have gone before us, especially those that we can learn from in the Bible, because scriptures was written long ago for both for our learning and for our instruction, right? And so about 3,000 years ago, there was a king who possessed great wealth, resources, and he was renowned for his wisdom. And this king was determined to search out the answers to the meaning of life. And how should one live in order to make the most of life in this world? This king was King Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. With great wisdom and wealth and resources, King Solomon set himself to find out what is life really about. How do we live a fulfilled life? And so he penned down his observations, his experiences, his insights in what we now know as the Book of Ecclesiastes. Many Bible scholars would believe that King Solomon would have been already in his older years and that he was reaching towards the end of his life as he was doing all these reflections when he wrote Ecclesiastes. Now, to search out the deep questions of life, King Solomon, he personally involved and applied himself in all the key events of life, the key pursuits of life, things that people will typically pursue after in life. And in brief, King Solomon, these are the things that King Solomon pursued after: wealth, riches, and glory. He pursued after food, wine, and pleasure. He was building houses, he was building palaces, buildings, big buildings, great buildings. He was undertaking big agricultural projects. He pursued the arts and the entertainment. He pursued after philosophies and the quest for wisdom, searching out what is really wisdom all about. He pursued all of these with great extravagance and with indulgence. He spared no effort at all. Now these, if you look at this list, these are pursuits that people throughout history, even up to this current day and age, are still pursuing after, are still chasing after, isn't it? Isn't it so? That people are still pursuing after all these things today? And so it might come as a surprise to many, and even a surprise to many people in this day and age, that in all of these earthly pursuits, Solomon found that they were all vanity. He calls them vanity. Meaningless. It was pointless. All of these earthly pursuits that Solomon would call as life under the sun, they were at best fleeting. They were like a mist or a vapor that seems to be something for a moment, but then it vanishes into thin air. But along the way, King Solomon, he did observe certain truths that ultimately would matter at the end of the day, when everything has been said and done. And these truths were summed up in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let's have a look at that. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So after all that Solomon has set himself to discover about life, after all that he went through, he indulged in, this was his conclusion and the final summation of it all. Fear God and keep His commandments. Why? This is the duty of all mankind, and because we will ultimately stand before God to give an account for all that we have done. So let's look at what Solomon exhorts us to do. Firstly, to fear God. Now the word fear in this case here, in this context here, means that we are to give great honor, have a deep form of respect, a holy form of reverence, that we are willing to submit and we are willing to worship. Fear. It also has an element of fear in terms of being afraid. So it's like a holy form of terror, a holy terror of God. And who are we to fear? We are not to fear men. We are not to fear anything else but God alone. Now, why do we fear God? There are many reasons that we can talk about. I'm just going to limit it to the book of Ecclesiastes according to what Solomon says. And according to Solomon, we fear God simply because God is the Creator. He is the Sovereign One, and He's the Final Judge. If we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5, you will see that Solomon writes there, "You do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in the mother's womb. So you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." God is the Creator. I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were saying that in today's modern science, you can clone things from stem cells. You can clone certain body parts, for example, right now. Well, you may be able to clone certain parts, but you cannot clone the spirit of man. That comes from God alone Himself. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "He," as in God, "God has made everything beautiful in its time." God is the one who determines the times, the seasons of life according to His will and to His purpose. So, God is sovereign. He's the Creator and He's sovereign. Now, we have to remember that God, who is before all things, the uncreated one, He is the Creator of all things. We humans are the creation and the handiwork of God. He is the potter, and we are the clay. God created us for His purpose. Being created in the image of God, we being created in the image of God, God has given us also a free will so that we have the power to make choices and decisions for ourselves. We are able to make plans for ourselves as well. But we also have to remember that as created and finite beings, our will can never override God's sovereign will and His sovereign purpose. while we may be able to make many plans for ourselves, ultimately, it is God's purpose and God's plan that will prevail. The plans of men can never thwart the purpose and the plan of God. Never. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, Solomon tells us, that both the day of prosperity and the day of adversity, both days are made by the Lord. So we cannot tell what is coming up ahead of us. We won't be able to figure it out. But you know what? God knows. He knows it all. He is the beginning and He is the end. He knows the end from the beginning. And so, I'd like us to think about this. Since God is the Creator and He's the Sovereign One, the One who knows what lies ahead, and that His will and His purpose will ultimately prevail, then as His creation, and more so for those of us who are believers and followers of Christ Jesus, don't you think that we should be choosing to follow God's will instead of our own will? And that we should be submitting to the One who created us and who formed us for His good purpose? Don't you think that makes sense? We must also realize that because God has given us the free will, the right to choose, we will then be held accountable and responsible to the Creator and to the Sovereign God for all the choices that we make, for the way that we choose to live our life in this world. And that is why in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, as we have read earlier, King Solomon exhorts his reader to fear God. Why? Because God, who is the Creator and the Sovereign One, is also the final judge, who will bring every deed of every person into judgment. He will judge both the righteous and the unrighteous, both those who believe in Jesus and those who don't believe in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And non-believers, they will be judged for their choice in rejecting Christ as their Lord and Savior. But believers, while we will not be judged on the basis of our salvation, we'll be judged for the works that we will do or fail to do as the outworking of our salvation. So God is the final judge. He will determine the eternal destination and the destiny of every single person and every human being. So we fear God because He is our Creator. He's the Sovereign One. He's the final judge to whom we will and we must give an account to on that final day. But now that we know that we are to fear God, how does it look like to fear God? How does it look like to give Him the honor and the reverence in our daily lives? To fear God means that we are in humble submission and obedience to God, to His will, to His purpose, to His word, His commandments. We would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all that we do. We will be willing to forsake our own will, forsake and put aside our desires, our plans, our personal ambition, and we will choose to say, Lord, let Your will be done. In and through us, in and through me, on earth as it is in heaven. Because you know why? We will know that only at the end of the day, God's will prevail. And God's will for us is good and perfect. It's not to harm us. And God's will is for us to have a hope and a future. Secondly, we fear God by worshipping God alone and wholeheartedly. We give Him all of our heart, all of our praise, all of our adoration. We give our utmost attention to God. We will not think about giving our worship to any other thing or any other person apart from God. Thirdly, to fear God means that we put God and God alone at the center of our lives, where everything that we do in this life would revolve around Him. Not around us, not around our children, or not around our jobs or our careers. God must be preeminent. He must be the Lord and the Master over every area of our lives. That is what it means to fear God. We fear God, we honor Him, we revere Him by living a God-conscious, a God-led, and a God-centered life. Not a self-obsessed, or a self-led, or a self-centered life. No. Now, talking about self-centeredness, in today's Christianity, probably more so in Western and in developed societies, we often hear lots of preachings and sermons, and we read a lot of devotionals that seem to focus and to emphasize on what God can do for them. A God who blesses them, who makes them successful, who prospers them, and would give them wealth and finance and power blessings. So many Christians then go to church so that they can ask God to bless them, to bless their career, to bless their business, to bless their children. And they go to church asking, what can the church do for me? It seems as if that the entire world is revolving around them. And in that regard, don't you think that for such Christians, they have actually taken the place of God? That God has now merely just become their servant, or what you would call a genie in a bottle. And so every now and then, for the sake of our own soul, we need to remind ourselves that this loving, generous, and gracious God that we often hear of, He is also the God Almighty. He's the Creator of all things. He's the Sovereign One. And He's the final Judge who will weigh every person and every deed on His balance. We need to have a holy and a reverential fear of God. Now, the late David Pawson, who was a respected Bible teacher and an evangelical minister who was based in the UK, he puts it this way: if people outside the church don't fear God, it's because people inside it don't fear Him either. Now, the second thing that King Solomon exhorts his reader to do is to keep His commandments. Keeping God's commandments means to obey His commandments, to obey His word. And I want to let you know that God's commandments are not meant to be burdensome or to kill our joy. No. On the contrary, the commandments of God come from the Creator Himself, the Creator who created everything originally good and perfect. And God's word, His commandments, His statutes, His principles are meant for our good. It's not meant for evil. Through the word of God, we will know who God is. We will know what is His will for us. What is His purpose for us? How did He purpose and intend for us to live our lives? In Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, we can see that God's word is able to help us to live in God's righteous ways, to keep our fellowship with a righteous God. God's word is able to make us wise and successful. God's word is able to give us life and health and security in life, direction in life. So when we live according to the word of God, we will live a life that is truly and fully meaningful, fulfilling, and abundant according to God's perfect purpose for us. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus summed up all the commandments of God in two commandments, the two greatest commandments. And firstly, it's to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And the second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when we love God with our utmost, with everything within us, and when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we fulfill all the commandments of God. Jesus also said that if we, as his disciples, we say that we love him, then if we say that we honor him and respect him and that we fear him, we would keep and obey his word, his commandments. Obedience to God's word and to his commandments is the evidence that we truly love him and that we honor him. At the end of the day, it's not how much we know about God's word. It's not how much we declare that we love God. But what really matters is how much of our life is marked by obedience to his word. That's what truly matters. And so that is why in the Great Commission, you will see that Jesus, when he told his disciples to go and make disciples, he told his disciples to teach all the disciples to obey all that he has taught and commanded. But brothers and sisters, it is not like we have to obey God's commandment only because of the fear of judgment. No. While it is true that God will judge us Christians on whether we have kept his commandments, Jesus has also given us a wonderful promise. Because Jesus said that if we keep or obey his commandments, God will reveal himself to us. And God the Father and Jesus the Son will make their home, their dwelling with us. When God, the Creator and the Sovereign God, makes his dwelling with us, or to put it in a different way, if we are living in the intimate presence of God and in closeness of fellowship with him, then we will experience and we will possess peace, joy, security, and blessed assurance. When we are in the presence of God, we will not be afraid of anything because we are rooted and we are grounded in his great love. We will experience and receive and have true fulfillment in our lives. Fulfillment as what the world can never give. True fulfillment. Why? Because only in Jesus Christ do we have life. Life abundant and life eternal. And so when we know and when we experience the wonderful and the awesome presence of God, our fear of God and our obedience to his commandments will be not so much out of terror of God's judgment, but it will come from a place of willingness and wholehearted love. We will want to follow his commandments because we love him. Love. Now, before we conclude for this morning, I would like to share with you my personal experience on fearing God and obeying God's commandments. When I was working in the marketplace, there were quite a few occasions that I was asked to do things in a dodgy and a fudgy manner. And it's all in the name of being accommodating, being flexible, and being creative. But you see, that would compromise my Christian values of honesty and integrity. Plus, my colleagues knew that I was a Christian as well. So I stood my ground as much as I was able to. It was within my power to do so. I stood my ground and said no. But you know what? That did not make me very likable as a colleague or as a subordinate. Because I was seen as being uncooperative, being inflexible and dogmatic. And some would even call me self-righteous. And so I had to experience much pain and go through quite a bit of bad politics as a result of it. And I was even told that there were attempts to remove me from the team and to kick me out of the company. Then came the year where my sales numbers, it tanked. It fell due to market conditions And there wasn't any apparent hope of a recovery of the numbers for the rest of the year. With all the bad politics that was going on, I honestly thought this was it. This is when they will finally get me off the team. This is when they will finally kick me off the company. And then came the surprise. Because instead of getting kicked out, not only was my position on the team preserved, but I was also given a promotion and the largest pay increment as well. And that's all praise and all glory to God alone. But you see, I did not obey God's command to work honestly and with integrity just so that I can receive a promotion or receive a pay increment. No. God, in His generous grace, He recognized and He honored my desire to stay faithful to Him and to His commandments. And God honored the steps of faith that I had to take as a result of that decision. And so He blessed me with a promotion and He blessed me with an increment to encourage me and to assure me that I'm on the right track, that I'm on the right course of staying faithful to His commandments. And then came the time when God called me to give up my marketplace job and to enter into full-time church ministry. That call came at a time when I was making good progress in my marketplace career in terms of the job scope, the responsibilities, the title. But the timing of the call that God gave me to enter into full-time ministry meant that apart from giving up the job and the title, I would also have to forfeit what would have been my biggest bonus payout as well. And so after a period of just going to and fro with God in prayer, "Lord, really? Are you really asking me to go now? Can I just collect it first and then go? It would help, you know, Lord, you know, that's a nice sum." That to and fro with the Lord, I finally decided to obey God's call and His timing. And I left my marketplace job to enter into full-time church ministry. But regarding my bonus payout, this was God's word to me. He says, "Aaron, who do you trust?" And I knew God was asking me, do I trust Him or do I trust the bonus? And so that's how I decided to forfeit my bonus. Now, what motivated me for this? I would tell you with all humility, it is the fear of God. Because I have gone through enough experiences in my life to know that if God has said it, then I better do it. It is about His kingdom and His will, not mine. And once again, God affirmed my choice and my decision to revere Him, to obey His word, by faithfully providing for me and my family every single year in various ways that would show us His amazing grace, that would show us His love and His faithfulness towards us. And I would also tell you, in ways He showed it to us in ways that I would not have seen otherwise if I have not taken that step of faith. Now, of course, I still have very much to learn in terms of fearing God and in keeping and obeying His commandments. But I hope that this would encourage you to trust in the goodness and in the faithfulness of our God as you set yourself to honor Him and to obey His word and His commandments. So, brothers and sisters, it is not that we should not or that we cannot start the year with a bang and shoot off the starting block, so to speak, with exciting plans and with resolutions such as planning for a holiday or saving up for a house or maybe buying a new car or getting a new job. But amidst all the plans and the resolutions that we make, if we want to win the race and to receive that trophy, which is our eternal reward and then our inheritance, then it is important and it's crucial for us to ensure that we keep focus, that we stay on the right course, that we do and we keep doing what truly matters in the sight of God. You remember the illustration I gave you earlier on? Keep running the race. Look ahead at the finish line, not at the big screen. We need to fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God with holy awe and reverence. Obey His commandments diligently and faithfully, because He is our Creator. He is the Sovereign One, and He's the ultimate Judge who will decide our eternal destination. This is the duty and the responsibility of all mankind. This is the duty and the responsibility for us. So I'd like us right now to just reflect. As we think about making plans and resolutions for this year, let us reflect in this regard on what truly matters to God. How are we faring today? Is God at the center of our lives? Shall we make God the center of our lives? Shall we make sure that God is at the center of our jobs, that He's the center of our education, He's at the center of our family, He's at the center of our marriage, He's at the center of all of our relationships, our service? Let us seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all that we do, in all of our plans, and in all of our dealings. Let us say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do this year? Even in my job, in the place that you put me in the position that you put me in, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do here in this place? Lord, even in my family, what is your will for us this year as a family? What is it you want us to do as a family this year? The second thing is, can the people around us, especially so our children, see the fear of God in the way that we live our daily lives? Can we model and show it to them that this is how the fear of God looks like? In the way that we conduct our conversations, the way that we conduct our behavior, our relationships with people, even so here in church, in the way that we serve one another in church. And thirdly, can we hear and apply God's word and His commandments daily? Can we resolve to say, Lord, this year I want to grow in this area, in this regard? That this year, Lord, if you say it, Lord, help me, I want to do it. If this is your word, Lord, to say to trust in you and to take that step in faith, then Lord, give me the courage and I will step forth in faith. This year may be a year where God may call some of you to take your golden legs off the boat and to step out onto the water. This year may be a year where God, you are already walking on water, but maybe you're on the shallow end. And He says, would you walk deeper, into deeper waters with me this year? Would we say, yes, Lord, if you said it, because you are faithful, because you are my Creator, you mean good for me and not evil, because you know what lies ahead of me, if you can call me into it, I will go, Lord. Would this year be that year of breakthrough and miracles that you are going after? So I want to encourage you to think along this line. For this year, let us put God at the center of our lives. Let us live in such a way that not only will people be able to see us fearing God, but that our children will be able to catch that spirit of us fearing God. Let us live our lives this year in a way where we are true to His word. We say, Lord, you said it, I'll do it, Lord. I want to invite the worship team up. And I want to give you right now a chance to respond to the Lord. Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads, please? Whatever that the Lord is nudging you in your heart right now, whatever that's resonating, that seems to be resonating in your heart, would you respond to God right now individually where you are and speak to Him about it? It's between you and Him. I could ask you to stand and I could ask you to come to the front, but no, I would like you to respond to the Lord personally at this point. And says, Lord, this year, Lord, help me to put you at the center of everything. Let now my life revolve around you. Would you respond to God in that? Help me to do what truly matters and what counts. Help me to fear you, to revere you. Help me to receive a greater revelation of who you are. And help me to stay true to your word, so that this year will truly count for ourselves and will truly count in the sight of God. If you have finished praying, could you take a stand as we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for seeing us through and carrying us through 2023. Lord, truly we acknowledge and we recognize it is only by your grace, your providence and your sustenance that we can go through 2023, another year. We thank you for all the healings, all the miracles, and all the breakthroughs that we have received from you in 2023. We thank you, Lord, for all the life lessons, all the experiences that you have taught us so lovingly and patiently. We thank you for the revelation of Christ that we have received, and the fellowship of your Spirit that we experience in 2023, individually and as families, as a church family. And we thank you, Lord, that you have now ushered us into a new year and given us another chance with 2024. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to realize and to grasp and to remember what you have called us to do, and how you have called us to live for you in this world. Help us to recognize the season of time that we are in, and your purpose for us to be here in this world for such a time as this. Help us to grow in our awe and our reverence of who you are this year. That amidst all of our plans and resolutions, help us to remember, Lord, that you are our Creator. You are the Sovereign One. You are the Final Judge. Help us to grow in our passion for your word, to grow in faith, in courage, to grow in commitment to live according to your word this year, to live each day in submission to your Spirit and by the power of your Spirit. We ask that you will grant us, Lord, individually, as families, as a church, that 2024, Lord, will be a year of new beginnings and breakthroughs indeed, in our lives and more so, Lord, in our walk with you. That we will have deeper and more intimate fellowship with you. That, Lord, that we want to see a greater move and flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. We want to see, oh Father, greater unity and oneness with you, with us as a church family here at Grace City Church, and with the larger body of Christ. We want to be counted, Lord, as faithful and true in your sight. We want to be effective as your kingdom representatives and the salt and light in this world, not only in 2024, but in every year and in every day that you give us. We live, O Lord, and we want to live our every breath for your glory and yours alone, and to enjoy you as our God forever. So, Lord, we ask all of these and pray all of these right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we respond to the Lord with this worship song?